Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli, the Queen of Maine, and you know what? I got my own podcast. Yeah, does everyone have one? Pretty much, but mine's different because I'm going to help you like I help myself. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli every week is going to teach you how to have the fabulous life that I have. If you don't listen, you're just stupid and don't want to help yourself, so don't even listen. I don't even want you to. But if you do, if you disobey my orders and listen, you can go to feralaudio.com or download it from iTunes. But again, don't listen. I don't even care.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults. Guys, welcome back to Weird Adults. I am so psyched here to have my guest, who I'm such a fan of. I love her stand-up, I love her comedy, I love everything about her, I love her essence. Give it up for Nicole Byer, y'all.
It's me!
Oh my, I feel like we've podcasted a million times before, yet this is the first time. I don't know why I feel
podcasts
that way.
Podcasts are always confusing, especially when you introduce someone, because it's like if someone's sitting at home in their car clapping for you introducing me. Like, it's like a stand-up show, but then like there's no audience. It's very strange.
Yes, it is different for sure. Nicole, how are you doing? What's going on? I love you on Girl Code.
Thank you.
I loved your MTV show.
Thank you. Rest in peace.
What's happening now?
Honestly, truly nothing.
Yes, that's the life.
It is depressing.
No.
But then I had like a few really fun, good years, and I'm due for a bad year. Like, I'm due to not work. I'm due to be in my head about things.
That's,
you know, some
crazy.
People are on the up, and sometimes there's valleys. I'm in a valley.
No.
Oh, this is depressing.
No, you, oh my God, I was just looking at your Instagram, and it looks like you were part of some crazy show this weekend that I was like, what is this?
What show?
You had beautiful red hair.
Oh,
you were
my
hugging
God.
Hot men.
Yes, yes, yes. So my friend Mono, I can't say his last name. It begins with an A. Mono Apagin?
Oh, I thought you were like, I can't say his last name because it's a secret.
No, I literally, I look at it. He has said it to me numerous times, and I just can't remember it or like remember how to say it. And then my friend Oscar Montoya, they do UCB Drag Race. So they have, the last one we had like a real queen, and then it was a bunch of like comedy boys, and I was like, let me be the Michelle Visage. Do you watch Drag Race?
No, I wish I did.
Okay, well, there's one lady who's always there, Michelle Visage. I think that's how you say her last name. So I was like, let me be the lady judge. And then they were like, we're doing another one. Do you want to come judge again? And I was like, yes. And truly, it is very funny. The first show, Tony Rodriguez did Barbara Fella, but it had nothing to do with the movie Barbarella.
Oh,
and
God.
He just screamed. And it was very funny. And then Josh Sharp this time was Ivanka suck your dick for cashier groceries. And his whole bit for an hour show was trying to suck audience members' dicks. And it was maybe the funniest thing I've seen this year. It was so funny.
I need to see that show. That,
oh, go.
Outrageous.
I think the next one is on March 25th. I won't be there, but It is a real joy.
That sounds such a unique theater experience, mm-hmm. comedy theater experience. So you recently posted on Instagram this really long, heartfelt message about your show, which I was so glad that you did, because I feel like it's so... I don't know, you're always wondering what's going on in someone's mind when they mm-hmm. go through this experience, and I just kind of applaud you for sharing that.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm curious, like, what was that process like, you know, getting your own show starring you, being so heavily involved in the creative and shooting it quickly? I remember I ran into you, you were like shooting nonstop for 8 or 9 weeks or something, mm-hmm. and then, you know, having it go away pretty much unfairly, which is like, you know, I don't, without bashing entities in this industry, you know, it sounds like you were a victim of like a changing of the guards, which is,
I'm
just curious, like, how was this experience?
The experience was truly crazy. It was like really crazy. I had done Girl Code. And then...
And just before Girl Code, was that kind of the first thing?
That was, like, the first thing that, like, really, like, popped off. I had done Hidden... No, not Hidden Camera Shows. I had done a show called Philosophy. I think that was my first credit at MTV.
And you were in New York still.
Yes, I was in New York. And that was just, like a clip show where comedians talk about clips from the internet. And then I got Girl Code... And then they wanted to, like, keep putting me in clip shows and, like, talking head stuff. And I was like, that's not for me. Like,
really?
I want to, well, it's not to be rude or, like, shit on anyone who's doing it. But, like, it's kind of easy. Like, either you're a skillful joke writer and you just write, like, great jokes, or you're good at, like, being off the cuff or whatever. It's just, it really plays on, like, natural abilities. Where, like, acting, yeah, you have to have some sort of natural ability, but, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard to look at a page and, like, make it come to life.
I totally agree.
And I love that.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to do that. And then MTV was, like, really gracious and really nice and really awesome. And
did you, like, what was that process? Like, did they come to you? Or, like, because, by the way, I just want to say, I watched a bunch of Girl Code when it first came out, and you popped so hard.
Oh,
like,
thanks.
I just remember being so appreciative that there was someone who was just willing to go there. That's like the easiest way to put it. Like, you just went anywhere you could go.
Well, it was weird at first because I was like, I don't know what Girl Code is.
Right.
I know how to not be a dick. And if that's what we're trying to do, then, like, okay, I'm on board. But also, I'm not, like, a joke writer, so I truly just speak from experience. And then, like, the editing is also really great because I would talk for a long time.
Yeah.
And then...
It's such a great format for a comedian.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a good format for a comic.
Which I actually, at the time, was doing the other, like, fake other Girl Code, Hey Girl, which I know your friend Sashir.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember you were pushing that show so hard on Twitter, and I was like, that is such
a sweet... I was trying because, like, it was just, like...
It was
the way
thing.
It went down was so strange.
Yeah. I was, like, pretty bummed because I felt like I was watching Girl Code. I'm like, I love this show so much. And then weirdly, it was a weird thing where MTV had kind of made two shows that were very similar.
Yes.
And one they really got behind, and the mm-hmm. other one they aired, like, all the episodes on one night and were like, see
ya.
Well,
it wasn't even, like, getting behind it. I honestly think Girl Code may have just... Your Hey Girl had sketches and segments.
That's true.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So I just think it took longer for them to, like, for you guys to film it.
Yeah.
And then Girl Code was very quickly filmed. And I think it just premiered before Hey Girl. And then it just seemed, it was like, oh, Hey Girl's the same thing as Girl Code.
Right.
Which is like, why? The mistake was greenlighting two of the exact same shows at the same time.
Yes, that would probably be a mistake.
Yeah. And I'm sure whoever did that is no longer there because MTV has gone through so many executives.
Yeah. And well,
so many.
Well, even to take it a step back further, I had a pilot with MTV, and they had a changing of the guards, and it got passed on. And that new head of the network was like, hey, why don't we put Esther in Hey Girl? And I was like, oh, this is like a cool consolation prize, mm-hmm. you know? And I had so much fun shooting it, but it just never went anywhere. But I did meet Sashir. I met so many awesome people.
Great. Yeah, it was you, Sashir. Who else? Ali Wong was on it? No.
Oh my God, she was.
Yes, right?
That's so crazy.
Isn't it bonkers to think about?
What is going on?
She has blown the fuck up since.
She really has. And Julie Klausner was the head writer, which is how I met her. And then she went on to Difficult People. And it is cool like to kind of trace things back.
Yeah,
and
to be like, it all started at MTV.
It does kind of make you believe that like these careers will keep going, because I do think that every step of the way I always feel like it's all over, and I feel like you're kind of having that vibe right now.
That's all I'm in, like, right now. It's awful.
But like I look back on it and I'm like, it's we just feel that way, but I don't know. I don't want to sound like too cheery and bright. Like,
no,
I'm going to live forever, but.
But it is. It's like the time keeps going. There's always going to be more projects.
Yeah.
And you can create shit. Like it is like a bonkers thing to be like, oh, everyone has to start somewhere, and then you like quickly like or slowly gather steam and shit.
Wait, so
it's fine.
But so okay, so you did Girl Code, you kinda wanted to step away from the talking head stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens next? MTV comes to you, they're like, we want to make something with you, or do you go to them? Like, how did that go down?
Well, they kept offering me things. So then I told my manager, I was like, just tell them I want to do scripted. Like, I have no interest in doing unscripted.
Isn't
and he was
that
like, okay.
Hard, though, as to like turn work down?
It is hard in a way, but I was touring. So I was doing colleges because of the popularity of Girl Code. So like, I wasn't hungry for money. So, I mean, I'm always hungry for money, but like, I was like, I don't need to take the jobs I don't want right now because I have touring. So like, that was a nice position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have the touring, then I would not have been able to put my foot down. And I put my foot down because I was just like, well, if I don't put it down now, I don't know when I'll put my foot down. Like, what if I get to host, you know, the fucking Ladies Who Brunch on NBC? Like, when do you say no? Like, you can't, that would be like too much money. You know what I mean? At that point,
mm-hmm.
like, do you want to host your own, you know, talk show? And it's like, well, no, not really. But like, that's a lot of money. So yeah. So I was like, before any of that happens, let me just say no. And then they were like, okay, we understand. And then she was at MTV, this woman, Suzanne Daniels, who's now at YouTube, was like, let's do like a big family show, kind of like Roseanne-ish, or like, I don't know, like a mixed family kind of vibe. And I was like, okay. So she was like, what if it is you are kind of a fuck up and you move in with your sister and she's got a bunch of adopted kids? And I was like, I don't hate that idea. Then we like shot it and we turned in, I thought, a very good pilot, and I thought it was funny. It was definitely like a sitcom. It was sitcom and probably would have been maybe better as a multicam. I don't know. But whatever. We turned it in and then MTV was like, we want it to be more you. And I was like, okay. They're like, what if you base it on your life? And I was like, okay. So I had a very weird experience where like they didn't buy a show from me and we didn't develop a show. They literally greenlit a show that they didn't know what they were getting.
What?
Yeah, it was like bonkers. They were like, we trust you. And
just you, or had you teamed up with anyone?
Well,
at that point,
no, it was just me. They were like, well, I had a producer. So the guy who wrote my pilot, this guy Christian, was still attached to it, and he would be the producer. And he wasn't at a show running level, so we had to find a showrunner. So the idea was greenlit, and then we found a showrunner. So then we brought in Christine Zander.
To series or to pilot?
No, to series.
Oh my
God. I didn't
shoot
another pilot. We went directly to series on literally
nothing.
A wish and a hope that it would be funny. And
which have
is like
a story.
Bonkers. Yeah, and have like a story and a through line and characters and
all the things.
Yeah. They didn't know what they were gonna get.
Wow.
So then,
but that's so much faith in you, you know.
Yes,
they bought
like,
you.
they were very nice to me. And the only bad thing I'd say about MTV is they didn't promote my show that they spent almost $8 million on. Like,
oh my God.
That's a lot of money to literally blow into the ocean. Like, they got me a billboard. And there was no air date on it. And I was like, so you expect people to drive down Sunset Boulevard and be like, Nicole, okay, I'll find that later. No, like, you need to put an air date on shit. You need to, I guess they were like, word of mouth would be a thing. And I was like, you don't seem to understand that word of mouth isn't real. Mm-hmm. Netflix word of mouth isn't real. They spent millions of dollars like doing subliminal promotion. Like they would have like lawn things that said Netflix. So like they did lots of stuff. They put their name everywhere. So people just, so like when you think of streaming at home, you think Netflix.
Yeah.
Because they did the fucking groundwork. So then they were like, tweet about it. And I was like, this is literally like me going in around my house being like, come into my room. Because I'm just talking to people who follow me who are already probably watching it.
Yeah, that's such a great
analogy.
And I
was like, you need to leave the house and like gather people. And you do that with buying web pages. You do commercials. You get billboards. You do buses. You paper. Like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is a perfect example of a network that was like, we're going to put money into this and get it in, like,
get
in
it
the back
there.
End or whatever. Like, that show was fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it was super funny. And then I think Rachel from her Instagram, I haven't spoken to her in a while, I feel like she went overseas or something to promote it, which means that like they're trying to get it out there in a different fucking country. And it's like, if they didn't do the groundwork here, they wouldn't have been able to do that.
Right.
Also, I might be talking out of my ass. Like, I don't know if that's what happened.
I mean, certainly you are driving around Los Angeles and you are seeing Crazy Ex-Girlfriend billboards for sure.
Yeah, and it
right.
was like in my head and I was like, I have to see it. Same with like Stranger Things. I kept seeing that fucking billboard and I was like, well, I guess I have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Or Legion, that's everywhere. Like you just, things that are everywhere, you remember to watch them, and they didn't do that in my show. And people, it's been like mostly positive feedback. They're like, your show's really funny. I'm so sad that I just found it. And it's like, yeah. Also, they don't understand that people watch television differently. Nobody watches anything live.
Right.
They wait till the season's over. They binge it. And then they're like, ooh, I'm hungry for more. And you should have more after that. I don't think anything should go for a season anymore.
I kind of agree. I fully agree, actually.
And it's so stupid.
It's kind of surprising that that's not the way, like, it seems like you should do
it's
two
so weird
everything.
Like Happy Endings on ABC is such a like perfect example in my brain of like how I watch television now. Someone had told me about it being funny, and then I was like, whatever, I'll get to it. So I got to it, I think, when they were in season two. Watched the whole first season, I was like, oh, this is very funny. Then I watched all of the second season, I was like, this is very funny. And then I think the third season hit, and I was like, I can't miss it. It's on Wednesdays. So, like, that's, I don't know. I feel like that's how people do it now.
But, did you guys ever talk to the network about, like, what's going on here?
Yeah. I was like, this sucks. Like, this really sucks. And, like, just keep tweeting. That matters. And I was like, does it? Does it matter? Does a tweet on Mondays matter? And I mean, he's not there anymore, the old president. I also don't think he understood my show, because he had, after he left, I found out some of the notes he'd given were like, I don't think you understand women. And it's like, you have a female skewing network and you have a male fucking president? Why? Why do you, why? Why would you have a 45-year-old white dude running this when you have such a colorful network for women? Or not for women, but like your biggest hit is Teen Mom. Dudes aren't watching. They're watching it with their girlfriends maybe, or maybe they're watching it alone. But I feel like mostly women are watching that. So it's like a woman should be in charge of what women watch. Lifetime. Lifetime did it right. It's frustrating. Because it feels like the infrastructure of the way Hollywood works is so weird and roundabout.
I know.
I was just talking to my friend about movies. Why do we pay anybody $30 million to star in a movie and then hope it does well? That's a lot of fucking money to hope on. Why not pay everybody like $4 million or whatever and do a $10 million movie, and then everyone gets back-end shit. So once you make a profit, they get a percentage of the profit. Doesn't that seem more economical?
I mean, it does if you're like approaching it with logic, but I think that there's so much greed in this industry that like everything is like working against people like us. And like, you know, unless you're the top 1% in Hollywood, like, nobody cares about you. That's what I'm learning every day.
Oh, yeah. Nobody gives a shit about you. And also, like, I auditioned with someone who is, like, in, like, a star in the 80s. And then she was, like, walking to the Fox audition. Have you been to Fox lately?
Not lately.
Oh, because you have your own show. Well, Fox doesn't let you park on the lot.
What?
You have to park at a parking structure that's like a mile away.
I don't
and
believe
walk.
It.
And or maybe it's half a mile. I don't know. But it's like a 15-minute walk. And this like woman who is very popular in the 80s and like had a show in the early 2000s. And I was like, why are you doing the same thing I'm doing? You are so much further along. But then it's like, yeah, Hollywood doesn't fucking care about you.
But also you're far along too. Like, don't discount that you had your own show and you will have another one, you know?
I hope and I pray. No, yeah, it's like, when does it stop?
Oh, it never stops.
When do I get to just be like, I'm sitting at home, I read the script, I'll do it. I want it. I want to be Viola Davis.
Oh, so do I.
I really would love to be Viola Davis for just one day.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by literally the greatest invention of all time. And I'm so excited and have so much passion for this that I'm going to ruin it. Blue Apron is amazing. And I'm just going to tell you some facts, and then I'm going to speak from the heart. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for the recipe, there's no food waste, okay? Well, they're reducing food waste at the very least. It's awesome. Cooking together with your family or your friends is like such a fun activity. It builds a strong family bond, and research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. I can tell you I'm proof of that. So for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. I'm telling you, it's so much more affordable than takeout. It's so much fresher. It's better for you. And the ingredients, like, it's so nice cooking with having everything right there. And I'm so bad at cooking. I'm so lazy. And this just makes it so easy and fun. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients. And it can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. So if you come home from work and you're starving, you know that within 40 minutes, you're going to have a fresh meal. Recipes are never repeated within a year, so you don't get bored. What did I try? I had sweet potato quesadillas with an arugula side salad. And I had the Korean rice cakes, and then tomorrow night I'm gonna make this like stromboli. I don't even know what that is, but it looks so good. I can't tell you how much fun this is. I started a new job this week, and I come home and I'm making my own meal, and I'm someone that like has spent so many hours like, what am I gonna order takeout, or what frozen dinner am I gonna make myself? And Blue Apron is just so much more fun. It's fresh food, and you really feel like a sense of accomplishment from making your own meal. It's like, I know that I'm getting all excited and hot and bothered about this, but it's just something that I knew about for so long and never tried it, and then finally decided to try it. And I'm like, where have you been my whole life? It's so easy. It's affordable. And like, if you're just cooking for one, you get the meals for two, and then you eat it like the second half for lunch the next day. Or if you're cooking for two, it's so easy and convenient. With free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Esther, and you'll love how good it feels and tastes. And you can check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals for free. And it's so fun to make these home cooked meals. It's just awesome. blueapron.com/Esther. So check it out. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Did you see Suicide Squad?
No.
Very funny movie.
It
was not meant to be funny, but it was very funny. Viola Davis was great in it, but the rest of the movie was bonkers. But there's this one scene that's like, I don't know, 6 minutes long, where she's like eating a steak in every, like on every line. I'm like, that must have taken 13 hours to shoot. She must have eaten 17 steaks.
Oh, that's so
stressful. I
want to
be Viola Davis.
That's so stressful to me. I feel like whenever I have to eat in a scene, I always try to like take really small bites, because I know that it's just going to be a day's worth
she
of Oreos.
Like hunks of meat in her mouth.
Oh,
I love Viola Davis.
What a fucking queen.
Oh, it's such a, oh, it's beautiful.
So, when you found out the show was not going forward, what was that like for you? Were you expecting that? Did you not think that would happen? And how did you react?
Well, after not having a show promoted, and then they like burned it off two at a time after, I think, 4 episodes on Friday, I was like, okay, my show is not getting renewed. But then the president left, and then a new guy came who, like, I think knows who I am. I don't know. But I was like, oh, maybe he'll try to give it, like, a shot. Maybe, like, a relaunch over the summer and, like, actually promote it. And maybe we'll do more episodes. I don't know. Maybe we'll get, like, half, like, five more episodes or something. And then he was like, no, we're going to let it go. I think MTV is, like, revamping, and they might be getting rid of all of their scripted. Don't quote me. I don't know. That's, like, a rumor I heard. But then when it was, like, final, I had, like, been prepping. But then when my manager called me and was like, it's official, it's done, I was, like, very sad. I was like, okay, well, then this is like, I don't know what I'm doing next. And I haven't felt that way in like 4 years. So like, that was scary. And then also you're like, shit happens. Like things get canceled, move on. And then I'm in therapy. Thank you, Mary. She was just like, it's okay to feel sad, but just like, know that that's not the end all be all.
Right.
Which is nice to keep in your head. And I've been walking a lot. Just, like, trying to clear my head.
I love walking.
And then fucking... The thing that sucked, though, was, like, it happened, like, during pilot season. Ugh. If you're listening and you don't know what pilot season is, it is about 2 to 3 months where you want to shoot yourself.
I kind of think pilot season is a myth. I think... Because pilot season is supposedly, like, this time of year where all the pilots are casting and you're going on all these auditions. I've never truly had a, quote, pilot season.
Really?
Yeah, I mean... I'm never going on, like, tons of auditions. I mean, and maybe that's just me and my type, and that I'm not as not far along as an actress where I'm not getting getting those auditions. But, yeah, it's definitely... For me, it's a myth, but it's probably not really a myth.
Well, it depends.
It's probably very real. In fact, it is 100% very real.
Well, that makes... That's so weird that you don't go out a lot. Because you're perfect. You're tiny.
I'm so perfect.
You're tiny. It's you're white. You're funny.
I'm, in fact, the perfect woman, and always.
I go out for a lot of, obviously, black things, but then I'll get, like, quirky, weird, offbeat, and I'm like, is it because I'm black? Is that why I'm quirky, weird, and offbeat? Then I had an audition.
I think it's because you're a comedian. I think that that's
what
we get.
Yes, and I'm just, like,
get.
Looking for funny.
Like, you and I probably go out for the same roles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My friend Chloe, who... looks very similar to you. We go to the same audition.
Yeah.
All of my auditions have been with her.
That's cool.
It's very silly. I had one where the role was literally named an Indian woman's name. And I was like, they're out there. Go find her. Go only audition Indian women. And after you've seen 50 and they're no good, like, then go somewhere else. Like, let them have anything. It's... Hollywood is...
It's beautiful.
So draining.
Yeah. Maybe we should shift gears.
All right.
I just realized that you, I know this, but like the reason when we sat down, I'm like, I feel like we've done a million podcasts, and it's because you were on my show Cocktails for True TV, and you fucking crushed it, and it's so much to say, and it was so much fun.
When does that come out?
That has come out.
It came out already?
Yes. I know.
Oh, no.
Well, you were like... probably very deep into shooting your own show, and it hasn't come out online though yet. They released them on the show, but then they come out online months later, so when that happens, you'll know.
Let me know.
It's hard when things are airing at like 11:30 at night on a Friday. It's really hard to keep track. I'm not kidding. So yeah, I know we talked about a lot of fun, like, sex stuff on that, so people should keep an eye out for that. What's going on, like, with you dating and stuff and living here now?
Well, recently, Saturday, I went to brunch, and I had this server who was this, like, I was sitting, so I truly don't know how tall he was. Very, to me, tall, albino-looking man. And I like white men. And I was like, albinos, as white as you get. And he was, like, kind of funny. And I was like, I'm going to leave him my phone number. So I wrote a little note, and then I wrote my number very tiny. So I was like, if he's got bad eyes, he won't text me. And that's the excuse I'll tell myself. But then he texted me.
Oh my God.
And then we talked all day Saturday.
Via text or on the phone?
Text. And then Sunday we talked a bunch. He was going to come to my show, but then he's like, I'm sick. Then he reveals he's 25. And I was like, good Lord, because I'm not 25. And then he was like, I'm taking improv classes. And I was like, ugh. He's like an idealistic 25-year-old who's like searching for his funny soul. And I was like, been there, done that. Don't need to do that. So then I was like, I'll just fuck him. But then I like put that out there. And then he texted me back today. I'll read it to you.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
He also Saturday night at 2 a.m. was like, can I come over? And I was like, no. And he's like, please? And I was like, absolutely not. I'm literally laying in my laundry. My dog is in my bed. And so is a lot of trash because that's how I sleep. And he was like, I'm into that. And I was like, what?
I sleep in trash.
I do. I literally, there's bottles and shit in my bed. He was like, so he didn't answer for like 12 hours. And then he was like, first off, I'm really sorry it took me so long to respond. That's really rude. I just got off work and I have to apologize again because I led you on these past few days. And I'm really sorry for that. But just thinking about it, I don't think this is a good idea for me right now. I'm really sorry. So I wrote LOL and then the little okay sign.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, you led me on. So like in his brain, he's a server. He's taking improv classes. He's 25. The world is his oyster.
Of course.
He's also white, so he'll get everything he wants.
Yes.
And then he's like, oh, this lady left me her number. We had fun. I'm going to text her. But I don't want to do anything but text her. Why? Why would you do that?
I don't understand that at all. I mean, it's like I'm trying to put myself in that position and see why would I do that. And if I had no interest in this person, I can't really see a world unless I'm so bored.
Like you are so
starved.
Bored that you're like, I want to text someone. I barely like texting or communicating with my friends.
Maybe do you think he had a girlfriend and was like, then he backed out?
I don't even know because he asked to come to my house at 2 a.m.
Oh, right.
For a fucking booty call.
Yeah.
So then I put it out there. I was like, let's hang out. Actually, let's just fuck. And he was like, no, sorry. And I was like, what? I'm
Wait,
confused.
That's so confusing.
Yes.
That's so fucking
yes.
confusing.
I was like in the shower and I was like, I give up. I give up on men. I don't understand any of them. I don't know.
Wow.
So that's what's going on with my love life. A whole bunch of nothing.
How do you compare dating here versus when you were in New York?
Well, when I was in New York, I was 18 to 25 or 18 to 26. So, like, I was, like, a little baby running around just, like, drinking and basically fucking just a bunch of different people.
Oh, my God.
And it was fun. And then when I moved out here, I was, like, doing kind of the same thing. And then I was like, let's stop doing that. So now I'm trying to be an adult, and I don't really know how to do it.
Isn't it weird that there's, like, no true way to know how to do that?
No,
I feel like
nobody tells you,
and nothing ever feels like you're an adult. You have this idea that like once I do this, I'll feel this. Like once I do blank, I'll feel blank, and then those blanks just stay blank, and there's no real.
They stay really blank. Like I still don't really know. I don't know how to find a competent, sane man with a big dick and a job. Like where are they? Like he was employed as a server. But then that, like, and then I was like, all right, the whole, honestly, it would never have worked for anything but sex.
Why?
Because I have more money than him.
Really? That's why?
Yes, and that is weird. When you have more money than a dude, it is weird. And I think it puts a strain on things.
Wait, I feel like that can work, but why are you saying it can't?
Because I feel like, I don't know. I really think partners should have equal money. I think when there is one person has more than the other, it creates distance. And I think jealousy can breed in that distance.
What if it's the reverse and the man has more and the woman does not?
Well, then I think you can take on like traditional roles.
Yeah.
But if you're like an independent woman, I think it'll start to frustrate you.
Interesting. I mean, I feel like I know so many couples where it's all across the board different, but I do think that you have a point. Like it is
maybe I'm being too definitive,
but that's okay. It's good to be definitive for yourself.
For me, I would never like seriously date someone with less money than me.
I wonder how I feel about this. Like I personally don't even know
Well, I have time now, so I can go on a vacation if I want.
Right.
He doesn't have any money, so I'd pay for him to come with me. Actually, like, not him, but, like, if I was dating a man without money.
Yeah.
I would have to think about it. Like, you have to get money. You have to save some money. And then we have to wait, and then we have to go on vacation where it's like, I mean, I'm not, like, balling, but, like, if I want to go away, you know, to, I don't know, San Antonio and go to a water park for the weekend, I can do that. There's this water park in San Antonio.
I love that that's the vacation that, really that you go to. That's so, so funny.
Again, like, when do you become an adult?
Not
I don't know.
Today. It has not happened yet. If you're talking about San Antonio water park, what is going on?
Yeah, he can't come. So, and I'm not paying for him to come to the water park.
Interesting. So, wait, what? Why is this water park on your mind? Because it's obviously insane. It's very weird.
I was doing a show at the University of San Antonio, maybe, and I was looking up hotels, and I was like, oh, I could stay at a water park? That's also a spa. That's also a hotel. So I could just, like, hang out in a lazy river, get a massage, and then, like, dive into a pool.
That does
I love
sound
it.
Really fun.
Yeah, right?
A lazy river is definitely the only appeal a water park has to me because I can't swim and I'm scared of water slides.
You can't swim?
No, and I'm so scared of water stuff, but a lazy river.
Really?
Yeah.
Lazy You've never been on a jet ski?
Are you kidding? No,
I'm
of course not.
I'm telling you, you gotta do it.
When and why were you on one?
I went to Mexico with my friend over Christmas, and we stayed at this all-inclusive resort where we thought we'd be able to leave much easier than we could, but, like, the driveway was, like, 4 miles long with speed bumps, so it took about 10, 15 minutes to even, like, leave the property. But they had water sports. They had power boats, which they let you drive, which I was like, that's not right.
No.
And then they had jet skis, parasailing, and, like, a bunch of other shit. So I was like, I've never been on a jet ski. I want to get on
and
one.
And you did it yourself.
Yes. And I loved it.
Weren't you so freaked out?
No.
Why not?
No, because I love shit like that. I love going fast. I love machines. I love cars. Like, I love it.
Was there any, like, dangerous moments to that?
No, because I guess when you catch air, that's, like, a little dangerous. And Ooh. You're like, oh, no. And then when you, like, land, you're like, oh, that was kind of scary. But, like, the turns, you, like, after being on it for, like, 30 seconds, you know what it kind of feels like when you turn. I had the most fun. I always want to be jet skiing.
Oh my God, that's so wild to me.
To the point where, like, I think I want a land jet ski, a motorcycle.
Or a Segway. I had to learn how to ride on a Segway for a Dairy Queen web commercial in Boston and Kansas City, which is super weird. My past life of a year ago. But as the Segway, like, became so thrilling. It's so basic.
It's fun.
It was a thrill. It was scary.
Wait,
at first.
Do you have to, like, balance?
You do.
So it's like a...
But it's like, you know,
a
you're
hoverboard
holding...
without...
It's a hoverboard with the handlebars where you're, like, leaning forward and back. Ended up being so much fun. Afterwards, I'm like, I have to go to the beach in Los Angeles and do one of those Segway tours. I haven't done it yet, but I need to make a point to do that because it was thrilling.
Right? It's thrilling to, like, just be you on a piece of machinery, just, like,
woo!
Flying.
Yeah, you're flying. And when I played Crash Bandicoot, there was jet skiing.
What is Trash Bandicoot?
Crash Bandicoot is a PlayStation game that I used to play when I was a kid, and there's a jet skiing level that was, like, the most fun.
I love it.
So we kind of are the same person, basically. That's what I'm trying to say.
I really want a motorcycle, and I think I might get one.
That sounds so dangerous.
I feel like I'm having a midlife crisis where I'm like, I'm going to get a motorcycle. Purple one.
When I was growing up, my dad had a friend who rode a motorcycle. And my dad, I was always a chicken shit, like, always scared of doing anything. All my cousins went ice fishing. I always stayed back. Like, even when I went with my dance class horseback riding. And I stayed, I didn't even horseback, I just stayed back with the girl who was allergic and just whatever. It was claimed I was being supportive, but I just was scared to go on the horse. But so my dad was like, you have to ride on the back of Earl's motorcycle. You have to do it. I'm like, I was like almost going to cry. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I get on the motorcycle and he turns to me and he's like, remember that time you wouldn't let me talk to your dad? Because back in the day, like, you'd be on the phone with your boyfriend or whatever in like ninth grade, and your dad's friend would call and you'd be like, no, bitch, I'm on the other line with my boyfriend. Like, no, he can't talk right now. And it just like scared me that he was going to do something bad. But I think he was just trying to be funny. And we went around the block and it was really scary.
I love it. I find it
have you ridden on
exhilarating.
One?
Yes. The first time I rode a motorcycle was in New York. I was walking. I don't know where we were walking. It was me and my very best friend, Tess. And this man was like on his motorcycle. And I was like, excuse me, you take me for a ride? And Tess was like, Nicole. And I was like, I want to get on a motorcycle. And he was like, okay, where do you want to go? And I was like,
a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And I was like, will you take me around the block? He was like, yep. He's like, hold on. And he took me around the block and dropped me right back off to Tess. And I was like, I loved it. And then the second time was out here. I was doing a podcast at someone's house and their roommate had a motorcycle and he was like leaving. And I was like, will you take me around the block? He was like, yes. And then there was once in a parking lot and I was drunk and I found a man who took me on a motorcycle. So I think three times I've been on one. I haven't been on like an actual ride. I've just been like around the block.
Is riding a motorcycle like buying a gun where you need the proper training, or is it just like you just go
I think
for
it takes more training to get a motorcycle than it does to get a gun.
Yeah, okay. My cousin is he's a SWAT team member and he lives out here, and I think he's one of my, I have so many random hot cousins that I forget about, and I recently saw him, and I think we're going to meet up and have a gun hang, whatever that means. I think we're going to kill each other.
I hope a gun hang is like brunch with just guns on the table. He's hot? Do you have hot cousins?
I have hot cousins.
Are any of them single with jobs?
No. The only, no. They're not.
Also, it's like the older I get, the more nobody's single.
No, I think that's just the way it feels. I totally disagree. I think, I don't
Are
know.
Are you single?
I'm not single, but...
What's the
I
man
know
out
so
there?
Many...
Matt? Is that who I just met?
Matt. Are
Matt,
you single?
Are you single?
He's single.
Ooh.
Matt
and
is
he's
cute.
Employed.
And he's employed.
Matt, how old are you?
Wait, and he cares about me because, like, he's caring because I was 7 minutes late because I was sitting in my car because I knew you weren't here yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a text that was like, Esther, where are you? Are you safe? Aww. I mean, it didn't say, are you safe? But that's how I interpreted
Matt,
it.
Matt, how old are you?
Hold it. 30.
I'm 30. Matt, I guess we have to go on a date. This is great. You pick the place, Matt. I would recommend John and Vinny's because
oh
they
my
have
God, I love John
delicious
and Vinny's.
Fucking food.
Oh my God, what do you get there?
I like the meatballs.
Maybe we should go on a date.
Let's go on a date. We like the same things.
I would love to go to John and Vinny's.
It is so tasty.
The meatballs are really good. I like the pizza. I love the beet salad. It's so good.
I haven't had the beet salad. I've only had the meatballs. And once I eat one thing I like at a restaurant, I will not get anything else.
I am the same way. Nicole.
It's awful, though, because you don't try things.
I know, but why risk it? Because you know what you like.
That's how I feel.
I know. Wait, what are your favorite dessert spots in Los Angeles?
My favorite dessert spots? Well, Umami Burger has this delicious dessert.
I don't like Umami Burger.
Really?
Yeah, is that mean? I only tried it once and I just
No,
was...
it's not mean. It is, people rave about it to the point where you're like, well, Jesus must be in this burger.
Well, I think for me personally, like, I love, my favorite burger currently is Shake Shack. Like, I just love the classic lettuce, tomato, pickles, onion, ketchup, mustard. Like, I'm not trying to do a fancy kind of
Shake
thing.
Shake Shack. Do you not like In-N-Out?
I do like In-N-Out, but I personally believe
Prefer
that Shake Shack,
Shake Shack
is better.
To me, Shake Shack and In-N-Out are tomatoes and potatoes. No, what's the
potato,
saying?
Potato, potato?
No, what's the saying? Apples and oranges. Like, I know they're both burgers, but they're fundamentally different burgers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, which they talk about this on the Doughboys podcast, but Shake Shack is much more expensive than In-N-Out, so can you rightfully compare the two? I don't know.
I don't.
In-N-Out's like $1.50. Mm-hmm. Shake Shack's like $4.50 or something.
I wonder why Shake Shack is so much more expensive.
It is really expensive. I don't know why either.
I like their concretes. Oh, they're like the mix. Like it's kind of like a blizzard, like a rich man's blizzard, because it's more expensive than Dairy Queen.
I know. Even though I still think an Oreo blizzard is the greatest dessert
it's
of all time.
So good.
Yeah. Oof. What is that? Your go-to blizzard?
I love an Oreo blizzard. If they make it correctly, I like Reese's peanut butter cups with hot fudge.
In a blizzard?
Yeah.
Wait, what do you even mean? On top or mixed in?
Mixed in.
Is it still hot? It's not hot, though, anymore.
The hot fudge?
Yeah.
No, it is. Girl. So after they mix it, they put the hot fudge, like, in the hole.
Oh, are you talking about the Royal Blizzard?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. I was in a commercial for it. I know. It's called the Royal Blizzard. I've never felt so proud in my life.
I love that you knew that.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever had a peanut buster parfait?
Of course I have.
That was what I loved growing up. And my mother would be like, you can have half of one.
Have you? Because
it's so big.
I know. That's actually was mainly what my dad would get. Have you ever had an earthquake brownie, an Oreo earthquake brownie sundae?
I believe so.
It's a brownie. It's Oreos. Yes. It's marshmallow topping.
Yes.
It's so good.
It's very good.
I kind of feel like low-key brownie sundae is the best possible dessert.
Yes. I just did a weekend. You should do a weekend there. Funny Bone in Albany has the best brownie I have had at a restaurant. It was such a good brownie, but you have to get the ice cream on the side because the ice cream changes the temperature of the brownie, which changes the taste. Because that's all I ate when I was there. I had a brownie every day.
It is kind of the greatest thing about being in it's like great and awful about being in comedy clubs because
you just eat trash.
You can just like, because you allow yourself the excuse to get like the basket of chicken fingers and fries and the chocolate cream pie. Yeah. And it's like, it's usually free because you're the comedian there and you're at work. Uh-huh. And it's just like, you traveled all this way.
Perfect.
When I eat that, some people I know, like they can't really eat that way before they perform. But for me, there's something about that like, it's almost like an energy pill. Like, I eat that way, and I'm, like, ready to fucking tackle and take on, a show.
Ugh, so good. But Umami Burger, you have to taste it.
What is it?
It is an oatmeal cream pie that is battered and deep fried with ice cream.
That sounds so good. I love oatmeal cream pie so much.
She described it, and I was like, I don't know. But then I ate it, and I was like, I can eat this for the rest of my life.
Okay, so do you know what's fun? Getting together with friends. Do you know what's not fun? Organizing and planning the get-together. Ugh. Funster takes the headache out of party hosting and planning. Hosting with Funster is easy, simple, fun. Most popular Funster events are dinner parties, potlucks, watching games with friends, birthdays, house parties, and movie nights. It's super easy to create an event, throw in the date, time, and location, and your invites will go out through your app in a text message, RSVP with or without the app, chat, share photos through the app, create a BYOB registry list, and have your guests pick items and split the costs. Host people you love more often. Download Funster at the App Store or from Google Play and plan your next party with ease today. Guys, I'm obsessed with Blue Apron. If you listen to this podcast, you already know that. I'm obsessed with food. I talk about it all the time. This podcast has nothing to do with food, yet it always comes back to it. Blue Apron has changed my life. I made these Korean rice cakes that tasted so legit. It felt like I was eating at a restaurant. Do you know the feeling of making your own food and feeling you're at a restaurant? I just now learned that feeling from trying Blue Apron. It's so delicious. I think next week I have some like kale cheddar, white cheddar quesadillas coming, which I'm so excited about. And oh my God, bucatini, which is the best pasta ever that has the hole in it. I come home from work. I don't have to stop and get fast food. I don't have to pay a ton of money on freaking food delivery service. I don't have to decide. Oh my God, the worst part of all is having to decide what to eat. No, I don't even have to do that. I have Blue Apron. Oh, and I'm not overpaying for food. I'm actually saving money. And cooking, it is so much fun. It's like a little math problem. You have all the directions laid out for you. So it's actually not like a math problem at all. I don't know why I said that. It's more just like fun. And it's like what's a fun thing where you follow directions? That's what this is. It's easy to accomplish and you feel, oh my God, you feel like a real woman or maybe a real man. You feel so good afterwards. I love Blue Apron so much. And it's so affordable. It's less than $10 per person per meal. I cannot find that in Los Angeles. I live in Los Angeles. Food is so expensive and overpriced here. I hate how much money I spend on it, but Blue Apron has totally changed that for me. It's so delicious. You guys, check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Esther. And you know my name has an H in it and it's silent. So don't be calling me Esther. It's Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R. And you will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Esther. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. It's so good. I love it. I want it right now.
Have you been to Magpies?
No, I want to go there so bad.
You gotta go.
Tell me everything.
It is so... I love soft serve.
I do too.
Soft serve is not an LA thing.
Nicole, I'm like about to cry. No, I'm... Everyone stop. Shut... Everyone shut the door. I love soft serve so much. I know it's weird. Like, so many people prefer regular ice cream.
No, soft serve is so good.
Soft serve is my favorite type of ice cream. I don't even know why. I just love the simplicity to it.
It's simple. It's got a good texture. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when ice cream is so, like, you have to chew it sometimes.
I know. It doesn't, like, I want it soft.
It's a good cone to lick.
Oh, my God. I love also, like, in a pinch, a McDonald's cone.
Very good.
So good. I remember when they first came out with the chocolate dipped McDonald's. I was popping up at drive-thrus all summer long.
So good.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Do you prefer vanilla or chocolate? I'm just going to say I prefer vanilla.
Vanilla!
Yes!
Yes! Oh, I don't love chocolate ice cream unless it's with vanilla. But then I prefer vanilla with fudge or like syrup or something.
No, vanilla with like Oreos or hot fudge or some kind of chocolate.
Yes.
But chocolate, there's something about chocolate ice cream that has always had a chalky taste to me.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Me either. And people are like, I love chocolate ice cream. I'm like, do you? Why?
Yeah, no, I love chocolate, but I love ice cream, but I don't like chocolate.
I don't like chocolate ice cream. Oh, Magpies has this
pounding.
It's like corn something? I don't know.
I've read about Yelp about Magpies on Yelp like for probably a total of 3 hours. I still haven't gone. Please tell
me
everything.
Do you just look at pictures on Yelp?
I do.
So do I. Sometimes I do it before bed.
I know. That, like, or if I'm in a bad mood or like, that's just such a pick-me-up is Yelping.
Mm-hmm. One of the most kind of prideful things that's happened with Yelp / embarrassing is there's this man. What?
Are you a Yelp elite?
No, I don't Yelp. I just look at the pictures.
Yeah.
And there's this man who travels like in New York, LA, and Chicago with his kid. And he takes pictures of food with his kid there. And I was in the writer's room for my show and we were looking up something and I was like, hey, I know that kid. And they're like, no, you don't, Nicole. It's a Yelp person. I was like, nope. You have to go to this restaurant page and he'll be there too. He'll also be on this restaurant page. And then they did it and they're like, wow, Nicole, you spend a lot of time on Yelp. And I was like, uh-huh. To the point where I know people in pictures. He's a really cute kid with dark hair. Let's see if I can find him.
That's so cute. I was once, I remember, in a town other than, so the Dairy Queen that I would go to was in one town and then I was in a mm-hmm. totally different town and I got out of my car to see a movie and a Dairy Queen employee was like, Esther! And it was like, it was such a great moment. He totally recognized me. And then that was back home. But then out here, I once went to Pinkberry and was like, hey, and it was a girl who I knew from Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
She had just gotten a job at Pinkberry. My point is I'm very well connected and I don't want to intimidate anyone out there, but I do know people.
Do you ever go to New York?
I haven't been in a while, but sometimes I go.
Have you ever been to Momofuku?
No.
You gotta go. They have soft serve that's delicious. It's a little sweet, but it's very good.
Wait, you need to give me a recommendation for flavors at Magpies, which Magpies, okay, from what I know, is a place that specializes in soft serve.
They only have soft serve. I can't find this kid.
It's like a high class soft serve, which is, I love simple things done.
And they have vegan shit. The vegan one's my favorite one.
What? Oh my God, I want to go there.
Okay,
now.
You also have to go. When are you going to be in New York? Do you know?
Oh, or, I do. I do. Okay. I'm going to be in New York in April.
Go to Momofuku's Milk Bar. They have this thing called crack pie that's delicious, and then their soft serve is really good.
What's crack pie?
Whenever
desserts
it's
have the word crack
delicious.
In it, you know you're getting into some deep
mm-hmm.
shit.
And then there's this place called Ample Hills Creamery, which is not, they have soft serve, but I do not recommend you get their soft serve. Get their scoopable ice cream, because that is the best ice cream I've ever had in my life. They have this flavor called Ooey Gooey Butter Cake, and it's Ooey Gooey Butter Cake flavored ice cream with chunks of this, like, buttery, delicious, still somehow soft in the frozen ice cream pieces of cake. I love sweets pain. And food. And honestly, if I didn't want to be an actress, I would move to like Portland or Arizona, get a tiny little house with a pool, and eat myself to death.
Can we do that together?
Yes.
I think we have the same fantasy. Let's move to Portland, embrace the culture there, mm-hmm. eat donuts for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm-hmm. I love donuts.
I know. I even named my dog
so
Donut.
Good.
I'm the real deal.
Your dog is so cute. Do you have two dogs?
No,
one.
No, I have one, but I had one years ago that I couldn't take care of on my own. So he went home to live with his grandparents, my parents.
Oh, okay.
And then they wouldn't give him back when I was ready for my own dog again. So I got a new little baby.
That dog is so adorable. It looks tiny.
She's like a small-ish dog. She's a Yorkie poo. What's your dog?
I have two dogs now. Hold on. I'm looking for magpies. Okay. I have two. One, Charlie, the big white one. Maybe you've seen him. We don't know what he is. He's like 30 pounds. What did you ask me?
What are your dogs?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what either one of them are.
Wait, I'm trolling your Instagram and all I see is a horse. Do you have a horse?
No, I wish I had a horse.
Oh, your dog is so cute.
Are you looking at the brown one?
The little fox, yeah.
Yeah, I just got him in September. I was sick and I wasn't feeling great just mentally. And I was like, I wish something loved me.
Was this the second or the first dog?
That's my second dog because my first dog doesn't like me.
Wait, what? What?
So I live with John Millheiser. We've lived together for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And he got SNL while we were living together. And it was like a year after we'd gotten this dog. And I think the dog blamed me for John leaving.
Oh, no.
Because we just like had a real tough year together where he like wouldn't do anything. He'd run away from me. It was just like hard. And then I was also traveling. So I think he was like, you leave too.
Right.
And John came back and then he was like, my allegiance is with him. Mm. And I was like sad about it. So then I got Clyde, the new dog. And I think Charlie now likes me more because he's like, you brought me a friend.
Aww.
And then now they're great.
Does Clyde love you?
Clyde loves me very much.
It's
he sleeps
such
in my
a good
bed
feeling.
Every night.
I love being loved by an animal.
I like it too. And he'll like sometimes paw at me in the morning.
Do you let your dogs lick your mouth and face?
No, I'm so sorry.
Okay, why? I do. Is that bad?
I watch my dog eat his own butt.
I know. My dog will literally be licking her vagina and then go to my mouth and I just don't care.
Some people are like that. Some people don't care. I can't get behind it. He is always trying to lick inside of my mouth.
Yeah, and she goes up my nose, too, which that I try to avoid.
No,
no. I feel like
sweet corn and honey is the flavor I love at Magpies.
Can you tell me what that tastes like?
I don't know. Like heaven. It is so good.
Oh, my God.
It's sweet, but not so sweet that you're upset about it.
That sounds very
And then they have vegan
delicious.
Ones. They have non-dairy ones. And it's honestly, it's really great.
What did you do with your dogs when you were shooting your show?
I only had the one at the time. John took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a really great dog walker man if you need one.
Maybe, yeah.
He's really great. His name is Bob. He loves dogs. And he's like the sweetest man I've ever met. Because my Clyde is bad. He's a bad little potato.
Aww.
He is really cute. And he'll like look up at you when you walk in. And if he doesn't know you and you reach down to pet him, he'll bite you. But not like a hard bite, like a nip. And he loves nipping the back of people's ankles. Little ankle biter.
Aww.
But and then he loves eating off the table. He eats so much and I don't know how to stop it.
Oh, that's Donut is like, I'm trying so hard not to let her have people food, but I think she's caught wind to what it's all about. She also has like a really nasty side where if you try to pick her up, she's like, it's not even just like a little bit of nasty, it's like mm-hmm. extreme nasty.
Oh no.
Yeah, she's I kind of admire her for it, though. I'm like, girl.
Same. Like, I like Clyde. He's very scrappy. Lately, he's been trying to get in the trash to eat. I don't know why we feed him every day.
Yeah.
Heaping bowls of food. But then he shits so much. He'll shit every time he goes outside.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes, 3 times. We'll go on a walk, and if he shits twice, I'm like, we have to go home. I don't want to pick up more shit.
That's kind of a relief, though. He's getting it out.
Yeah.
On that note, Nicole, thank you so much for doing this show.
Thank you so much.
I love
you.
Are you
going to South by Southwest?
No, are you?
Yeah.
For stand-up?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I've never been.
I was hoping we'd be at another festival together and actually hang out.
I know. I remember I saw you in Chicago. That was super fun.
Yeah.
The Laugh Factory.
And then we saw each other for half a second at San Francisco?
Yes.
Outside Lands.
Outside Lands, yeah.
Which was fun.
That was actually really fun.
I was angry for most of the day because the bracelet... So this fucking festival, they had a bracelet that had money in it.
Oh,
and they didn't work.
Yeah, that was a real festival. Like, I felt like a real person
there.
There
were so many fucking people there.
Yeah, and there were so many cool food options. I felt like mm-hmm. that was a real normal experience that I very much appreciated. Anyway, where can people find more of you? I follow you on Insta and Twitter at Nicole Byer.
Yep, Instagram, Twitter.
Is your series available anywhere to watch?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's infuriating.
I haven't looked recently, but it was on MTV.com and the MTV app that nobody has.
Mm-hmm.
It just recently got pulled off Hulu. I think Viacom pulled everything off Hulu, but that also may just be a rumor I heard. Listen, I have no real information. I only have rumors that I hear.
Rumors. Did you read it on Yelp? Heyo.
That was a good callback.
Awesome. Well, I hope that you come back soon.
Yay! Feral Audio.
Want to tell you guys about a really cool thing that Randy and I have been working on, and Dan's been involved in this as well.
Yes, we're building a fort.
We are building a fort.
In some ways, we kind of are.
A comedy fort of
sorts. One of my favorite things that I see on social media is when someone posts a text chain between them and their mom, or mm-hmm. them and a funny friend.
Or two comedians.
Two comedians, and you get to see the interaction back and forth, which is so fun. At times, there are text chains that we are on, the three of us, that are the funniest things ever that only the three of us get to see. So we had the idea, along with a couple other people, wouldn't it be great to allow people to be a fly on the wall of these conversations that happen between funny friends of ours and funny people just back and forth? To us, it would be really fun. And so that is sort of the germ of the idea of a special app called Banter. And we want you guys to try it and check it out. All you got to do is sign up for it. It's free. Find it in the App Store. It's called Banter, B-A-N-T-E-R. Get the app. It's free. And we want you guys to check it out and just pick conversations that are between two people. And the conversations play out in real time. And you get to hear it. It's curated, so nobody's going to be embarrassed.
Right.
It's the best stuff. But again, if you have a couple of minutes, you're sitting on the toilet, you're waiting for a train, you're hanging out. So when you want something, because so many times this happens to me where I want
just a quick blast of something
funny.
Something
and Twitter doesn't give it to me. I want to see this conversation happening between two really funny people and just get a laugh. We all need that in our day. So in order to do that, check out Banter and just download the app and let us know what you think about it.